Welcome to this deep dive. Today, our mission is extracting the truth from a really detailed article on building a high-torque cam for a 383 Chevy engine.
Yeah, and even if you aren't a gearhead, this is a perfect illustration of how small tweaks in complex systems create just massive results.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we are busting the myth that bigger is always better. I mean, you imagine dropping this massive, aggressive racing camshaft into your newly built 383, right?
Oh, yeah. You pull up to a stoplight, you expect to absolutely tear up the street.
Right. But then the light turns green and you get outrun by, like, a stock minivan?
It happens all the time, honestly. People spend thousands on a custom engine. They choose the most extreme cam profile available and end up with a car that's just totally miserable to drive.
Well, before looking at cams, we really have to understand the engine foundation.
Mm.
A 383 is just a standard 350 engine block, but it's been stroked.
Right, with a stroked 3.7 5-inch crank, which adds, you know, about 33 extra cubic inches of displacement.
Yeah, 33 cubic inches. And builders constantly just blindly copy a 350 cam spec right into their new 383. So here's where it gets really interesting. It's basically like buying shoes two sizes too big just because they fit your taller friend perfectly.
That is such a good analogy. What's fascinating here is how those extra cubic inches completely change the physics. Moving more air at low RPM means the 383 is a natural torque monster.
So a cam that idles terribly in a 350.
It's actually super mild in a 383. The engine basically swallows the cam because those bigger cylinders are pulling so much vacuum.
Wow. Okay, so since big duration hurts torque, what are the actual magic numbers here?
Yeah.
The sources point to a sweet spot of 210 to 224 degrees of duration at 0.50 inches.
Yep, and you want to pair that with a lobe separation angle, or LSA, of about 110 to 112 degrees.
Wait, let me push back on that for a second. My instinct as a builder is, shouldn't a narrower LSA and bigger duration equal way more power?
You'd think so, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's all about trapping pressure. Wide LSAs, like that 112 to 114 range, actually hold low-end cylinder pressure.
Oh, and narrow ones just bleed it off.
Exactly. Narrow LSAs create too much valve overlap, where both valves are open at the exact same time. At low speeds, that just acts like a giant leak.
So it's like trying to blow up a balloon with a hole in the other end.
Yeah.
You know, you move a lot of air, but you can't build any actually pressure.
Precisely. The wider LSA snaps that exhaust valve shut sooner. That traps the intake charge and builds intense low-end pressure. It's why specific cams, like the Comp Cams XE268H or the Lunati Voodoo 60121, are prime torque-building examples.
So what does this all mean for the rest of the car? Because a perfect cam fails completely without the right supporting ecosystem.
It really does. You can't just drop it in and hope for the best.
Right. It's like having a star quarterback who fails because of a terrible offensive line.
Right.
I mean, you need mismatched rear gears fixed. Like, you need 3.42 to 3.73 gears, right?
Yes. And you need dual plane intakes or the right torque converter. But also, the physical installation is a huge trap. Factory timing marks can be 2 to 4 degrees off.
Wait, straight from the factory?
Oh, yeah. So if you don't use a specialized wheel to degree the cam, you might install it completely wrong. And if it's off, it shifts the entire torque curve by hundreds of RPMs.
And then you're stuck blaming a perfectly good camshaft for a sluggish car.
Hmm.
But speaking of ruining cams, there is a massive danger mentioned about the break-in process.
Oh, the break-in is critical, especially for flat tappet cams where the lifters rub directly on the lobes. You absolutely must use an oil rich in zinc.
And you have to hold it at what, like 2,000 to 2,500 RPM?
Exactly. For a strip 20 minutes, if you just let it idle, it won't splash enough oil, and that friction will quite literally wipe the cam lobes totally flat.
Man, so real performance is all about component harmony, not just one single spec. I mean, if you're budgeting, you need $500 to $1,500 for the whole valvetrain, not just a $200 cam.
Yeah. It's a system, yeah. Which raises an important question for you to think about.
Oh, definitely.
A camshaft acts like an absolute rocket with the right torque converter, but it's a complete dog with a stock one. So where else in your life or work are you blaming the main component when the supporting cast is actually at fault?